Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to talk about a topic that never grows old, and that's asking for a raise. We'll start with a question about someone who is 7 months into a new job and wants to ask for a raise. Then we're going to discuss what you can ask for when there's a freeze on raises or nobody's getting them, but you'd still like to be rewarded for your job performance.
Yeah. You know, asking for a raise is a fine art, and so few of us ever receive training in how to do it.
It's true.
I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
All right, Logan, what's our question?
I recently took a job for a lower salary because I needed the work, and they promised that there was room for growth. I've been there for 7 months. They're giving me a lot of responsibility, and my boss says he sees great promise in me. I see my value, and I want to ask for a raise. How do I ask?
All right. I just want to say just right off the bat, when you start low, you stay low. I just want to say that the time to negotiate really was coming in, and maybe there was no negotiating. Maybe this person just needed to take the job.
Yeah.
But there is a problem with coming in low, and I try not to let my clients do that. But sometimes you have to. Okay. So I just wanted that said.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. I also would wait for until you're there a year. I mean, 7 months is nothing. It takes 3 months to learn a job. So you've really only had 4 months to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you've done something extraordinary.
Right.
And maybe you have. You know, then you want to ask that deep breath. You want to say something, Catherine?
No, I actually think you're making an excellent point. And I think that deep breath was my projected anxiety. If I were this person, it may be that, as you say, because they started low, they're already going in anxious to be making significantly more money.
Well, you know, they clearly needed the job, and that probably felt like the right decision at the time. But seven months in, it feels like, ugh.
Right. Right.
Maybe that wasn't the right decision.
So if we're to follow your advice, which I think is absolutely correct, to wait until you've been there a year, then part of the internal process is managing your own anxiety and trying to figure out, you know, what is the value to me? I see the value I'm giving them, but what's the value to me for staying here for a year and gaining possibly some skills and experience and some credibility? That may help with your anxiety a little bit.
So if you want to go in for a raise at 7 months, and this is pretty much true for any, whenever you go in for a raise, you really have to develop, you know, some kind of, I don't want to call it a proposal, but some kind of document where you really can explain on paper what your contribution has been. What is the value? What are the benefits of your contribution? And you know, they don't always add up to money. I mean, if you did bring in a piece of business, that would be great. If you did make the company money, you did develop a new product or a new service, that would all be great. But sometimes what you do doesn't add up to dollars, but it may have supported them in making money. So whatever that contribution is, that's really valuable. You may have cleaned up a big problem that no one else could clean up, or you may have walked into a problem and you were able to clean it up. But what is it that you did that you can point to and write about and talk about?
Right. And do you try to put it in monetary terms if you can, or is that not?
Well, that, you know, then you would say, I believe I deserve a raise or a promotion with a raise.
Yeah.
But I'm going to need more money to stay. Now you see who I am. This is what I can do. But I really hesitate with 7 months. You know, I know, look, we're all impatient, and maybe you've done a phenomenal job. If you've done a phenomenal job, you can request a meeting and say, you know, I believe I've shown what I can do, and I'm going to continue doing that.
Yeah.
But I just want to be sure that it's being noticed and that I'm up for a raise, and when is it the right time to ask? You can start that conversation, and they may say, hey, now, or I've already begun fighting for you, or let's talk about that in a year. Right. I cannot go and get you money until
So I like that. You ask them what's the proper timing here.
Right.
Because timing is everything when it comes to this kind of thing.
Right. And you should be able to, if you've been doing a stellar job, you should be able to have that conversation with your boss. It shouldn't be an issue. Mm-hmm. So I can already feel there's people out there saying, oh, I can't have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can if you're doing a really good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, and there's value just even probably in documenting your successes mm-hmm. for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. All the time, and also so that you have concrete results that you can point to. I'm curious, Kathy, when you coach people, do you also encourage them to kind of lay out plans for what more they want to do or the business they want to develop, or is that just more sort of that's future planning? It doesn't help in proposing a raise.
No, that wouldn't help.
Yeah.
You're never paid for what you're going to do. You're usually paid for
what you have done. Yeah.
And you don't know what the perception of at 7 months, you may be getting accolades.
Yeah.
That may just be based on the fact that you're doing well. You came in and you're learning the company and you're managing nicely. Right. It doesn't mean that they're going to pay you more. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's how I would handle it.
Actually, what I was thinking is, I know that you have said in the past, Kathy, that when you're negotiating, whoever says the number first.
Yeah.
Say that. Explain that to me.
Well, whenever you're negotiating your salary or your fee, the first person who throws out the number is usually the loser. So, but sometimes you can't help that.
Yeah.
So I like to build a big pause in. Like when I'm negotiating our fee, I'll say, well, what is your budget?
Yeah.
And then I let this pause happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And 50% of the time they'll say a number which is bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Many times they say, we don't really have one. We need direction from you. We need a number from you. And then, then there's no choice. But the same thing with a salary.
Yeah.
Let them tell you because it might be higher than what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Ah. So,
but it doesn't always work that way. You know, negotiation is a fine art. You can try.
That's what we were talking about earlier. It is.
Yeah.
So coaching, it also sounds like this is one of those areas, 7 months, 12 months, 3 years in, it's great to have some really verified coaching on this kind of thing.
You know, I just did it with a client and she was asking for a lot. And she did have a counter offer though, which was very, very helpful that she had been gotten an offer from another competing organization.
Yeah.
Although she didn't have the paperwork on it. But it was verbal. So she was able to say, she never said what the offer was. She says, I'm going to need this kind of an increase.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to need in order to stay because I do have a solid offer. Mm-hmm. And then she waited. I said, it's going to get really uncomfortable. Don't speak. Just wait for a reaction. And it was a long pause. And they said, okay, we'll get back to you. We will check it out. And she got everything she asked for.
Wow.
Now, she had found out, she knew that she was making them a lot of money.
Yeah.
And she never had to use that because she knew that they knew that.
Yeah.
Making an organization money, if you're in a position that you directly make the organization money, you got a lot of leverage.
Right.
But most people are in positions, like they could be in HR, they could be in the accounting department that don't directly impact that.
Right.
So it's our responsibility, whatever position you're in, to think about that. Like, what can I do? Can I save this organization money? Can I, implement something in my department that is a money saver or money maker?
That's what I was thinking about when you were talking about your concrete results. If you can monetize what you've been able to, how much you've saved them, what number of accounts you've been able to bring in, how much revenue you think you may have generated, even if it's through cost savings or reorganization or more efficiency.
Cutting staff so that it costs less. Just whatever it is. And I know we don't like to think that way all the time, but really we're in business to make money. That's what we're doing. And you cost money to the organization. So you're going to have to show your value. A lot of times it comes down to the money. A lot of times.
So there's a part here for anyone who's wondering about asking for a raise where you really need to sit down and do your own business assessment, about what is it that I am really doing and bringing here and what are my true accomplishments and not make it just they're not recognizing how great I am.
Right. And, if it's not money and let's say you did solve a really big technology problem or a customer service problem, that could be really valuable. And you may not know what the dollars and cents of that are, but that could be very beneficial for the organization too. So you got to know your value, and you should make sure that you're bringing value to your job. You know, you got to think about that. I ask my clients that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, what differentiates you from the other, the other people in your company? What makes you stand out? What makes you unique? Mm-hmm. So you should be thinking about that.
That's so interesting. So not just when you're asking for a raise, but on a regular basis, you have to be stopping and thinking, what's the value that I'm bringing?
And even by doing all of that, they still may not be able to afford to give you a raise, may not be there, or they think they can get somebody else. You're replaceable.
Okay, so let's do one more thing. And I know we've been on this question for a while, but the time not to ask for a raise if the business is in a downturn.
Well, not always. It depends. I think if they just made an announcement where we have a hiring and salary freeze, you're not spending any money, and you just cut your department by 40%. Yeah, I don't think that's the time to ask for a raise.
That's what I was talking about.
I mean, it's
kind
of common sense. And also, on top of it, like, you can't ask too often.
Yeah. Right.
That's why having the conversation of when would be the right time to talk about money is something you want to get a pulse all the time.
Right.
Or, you know, you may know that some of your colleagues just went in and asked for a raise. I would maybe wait.
Yeah.
Or maybe your boss is going through a tough time in life and that's the last thing they want to hear. I mean, you have to use some emotional intelligence to...
You have to read the room, so to speak.
Yeah. And the mood.
Yeah. Okay.
If they lost a big account, probably not the right day.
I've had clients who have gone in shortly after something like that, and it hasn't gone well.
No, it hasn't gone well. Yeah, we can guarantee that.
Makes sense.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you have any comments or thoughts on this topic, and I know you do, because everybody has their good stories and their bad stories, tweet us at AskK2.
If you want to get onto our email list, please text us at 228-28 and type in My Crazy Office. That's 228-28 at My Crazy Office. And you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office. We'll be right back.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. We thought we'd spend the second segment of our show discussing what you can do when there is a freeze on raises. And, you know, sometimes there isn't an actual freeze said, but you know there's a freeze.
Right,
you know that money is not flowing. And we're in a funny economy right now. It's not terrible. It's not really that bad, but it hasn't been as good as it's been, which freaks people out about the future. So... Right. We just wanted to talk about the other perks you could ask for if you really need a raise.
So one that came to mind for me was executive coaching.
That's right. That's right, because that's a business expense. Sometimes they're willing to give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or outplacement. Sorry. Just thought I'd throw that in. Just that's a little comic relief here. Well, there's a lot of things. I think you can, this is sometimes a good time to ask for a flexible schedule. If you want to come in later and leave later, or earlier and leave earlier, or maybe you want to work from home a couple of days a week or a couple of mornings a week. Probably also the time maybe to ask for more vacation time instead of pay.
Oh, I like that.
Sometimes that goes off. Sometimes a gym membership. Sometimes companies can get a gym membership for a bunch of people at a really low rate, and they're willing to do that. You know, there's also daycare and dog walking. In certain companies, they have that available, and that's something they might be willing to pay for. You know, you can also offer that... you would be willing to pay more for your health insurance as a, I'm sorry, that they could pay
they
more,
pay
for,
more
your,
of your health insurance.
Right, as another perk. Maybe your company can give you a cell phone and pay the monthly bill. Maybe there's a way that that's a good expense for them.
How about things like courses and conferences and that kind of thing?
That
are those
definitely
in the category of
usually
rewards?
Yes. Yeah.
And parking. Did you mention parking?
I didn't mention it, but that's, yeah, if they
Well, we're New Yorkers, so we don't think about that.
Park what?
Exactly.
But I know that parking can be a hefty bill, right? So offering to cover that would be...
Well, also to cover commuting costs could be another. Yeah, I've seen in New York City, I've seen companies give Metro cards, which is a big savings.
It sure is.
What is a monthly Metro card? Like
one
something a month.
Yeah.
120 or something.
120, 130. Yeah.
That could be great.
Yeah.
Well, it's a small perk, but it really makes a difference when you don't have to lay out that money.
Right.
So think creatively. Think about there's a way your company can cut some of your costs.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be beneficial. Rather than getting a raise and having to pay taxes on it, this may be a way that everybody saves.
Yeah. So it would be a question then of either using some of these ideas or finding other companies that are doing creative things in terms of rewarding their employees. And then would you ask for it at the time that you would normally ask for a raise, or would you ask for it at the time of your evaluation? What would you normally recommend if there's a freeze?
It probably, at your review time is a good time to say, is there something else that the company is willing to give me if they're not willing to give a raise? And here's some ideas that I have. I'd like to go flexible schedule. I'd like to work from home. I'm wondering if you could pay more of my health care. I mean, this is the time that you would throw not all of these ideas out, but the two or three that make sense for you, and hopefully you'll get one of them.
Right. I was thinking also sometimes laptops, pieces of technology
that's
make
another
your job easier could be a part.
Or if the company is also willing to stock a refrigerator for lunch, if they're willing to... because lunch costs money too, whether you bring it in or not. Or you even make your own lunch, it costs money. So start just think about different ways the company can take care of you other than a raise.
Right. So it's interesting. Once again, you would need to come prepared during your review with your accomplishments that's supporting this thing. And then I'm imagining actually employers may really appreciate that you come with ideas of how they can reward you when they're not feeling as flowy with
revenue. In HR, if anyone in HR is listening, and I know some of you are, this is something that you could think about also. How can we reward people in times where we can't really give very big raises or we can't give any raises? We're asking a lot out of people. We're maybe not hiring as much. So what is it that we can do for our people that would be beneficial?
Right.
And some of these things don't really cost you that much.
Mm-hmm. And this is ancient history, but when I did the Peace Corps, they actually gave, one of the things they gave us was travel dollars and time off island, because being on an island all the time would drive you crazy.
Really? Sounds great to me.
I know.
Try it for 2 years. Anyway, but that was a very smart thing to do, because it felt like, leave, so to speak.
Right.
And it didn't cost them very much at all.
Right.
And then the volunteers felt very appreciated.
Exactly. It is about showing appreciation.
Great. Well, so that's it for this segment. Tweet us your stories to AskK2, follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.